The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity and was recorded at Westminster Chapel in Toronto. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
Well, good evening, my brothers and sisters, and Merry Christmas. Those of you that know me, even a little bit, I'm guessing, know that I love Christmas. It's by far my favorite time of year, and I'm glad that there are more children with us this year, and I know you're excited too, and I'm excited. So this isn't going to be a long sermon like on Sunday mornings. It's going to be a shorter sermon because I want to get home too. I'm excited about tomorrow. And even today, as I was getting ready, we were having family over, and I noticed last night that one of our Christmas lights on the eaves was out. So like Clark Griswold, I was out there with the stepladder replacing that one bulb. Everything just has to be just right. But I'm glad that the kids are here tonight. I read an article this week that was complaining about the fact that the Christmas Eve service has been moved up and turned into a family service. And the writer of this article saw this as a bad thing and said kids need to wait to know that when they're older, they get to go to the Christmas Eve service. But I don't agree with that. I think it's good that we have a family service and that the kids are here tonight. And that the sense of excitement that comes with Christmas Eve, it often comes with all of the trappings of Christmas. Yes, there's the lights and there's the family meal, and there's the special drink that you bring out that time of year, and yes, the excitement and the expectation. And all of these things are part of what makes Christmas merry and bright, and I think these are good things. I would even say that these are holy things at this time of year. But it's not those things that make tonight holy. It's not those things that explain or define the meaning or the significance of Christmas. And the very fact that we come to church on Christmas Eve is a reminder of the real meaning of Christmas, of the significance of Christmas. And if we're not careful, some of the trappings of Christmas and the excitement can get in the way. It can obscure the reason this night is holy. It can obscure the true meaning of Christmas. And that's why we come to church. If you think about it, one of the things that coming to church Sunday by Sunday does is it anchors your life and it gives your life a certain orientation. It reminds you of what matters. And then you go back to the day-to-day routine. And coming to church on Christmas Eve and again tomorrow morning, so I love it when this happens, the night before and then the next morning, another Christmas service, but it anchors Christmas for us. It orients Christmas for us. It reminds us why we're here. And hearing the gospel read is a reminder of the true meaning of Christmas. Singing these carols that we've been singing, I know that the tunes are familiar, but if we're paying attention to what we're singing, the words remind us of what we're doing here. And some of the nostalgia and some of the sentimentality of the season hopefully will fade into the background when you come into this place and when you're hearing the gospel read. And if you just think about what we read concerning Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, there's nothing really too nostalgic or sentimental about that. Here is a poor couple. They are living in an occupied territory under an oppressive Roman imperial rule. Caesar Augustus himself doesn't know that Mary is pregnant. He doesn't care that she's pregnant. He wants her there in Bethlehem so that the wheels of the administration of his empire can keep running. And the shepherds themselves, these are nobodies in first century society, and they're out there working on this night. So there's really no nostalgia. They weren't excited about the lights or the family meals or those kinds of things that we're excited about. And our Christmas carols remind us of this too, the meaning and the significance of Christmas. If you think of that one well-known carol, we didn't sing it tonight, O Holy Night, the way it begins, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. Hearing that, we think, yeah, bright lights, it's good. But then we hear the meaning of Christmas. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And then in the next lines, a dose of reality. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And all of the carols give us a reality check. They remind us of what we all know to be true about the world out there. This line, long lay the world in sin and error pining, that described the world of the first century. And it describes the world of the 21st century. Still, tonight, the world languishes in sin and in error pining. And that reality remains with us. The trappings of Christmas may put a bit of a nostalgic or sentimental veneer on things, but you're aware in your own life of the year you've had. Maybe you've had a great year, but many of us have had our ups and downs. And Christmas time is often a reminder of the difficulties that we face, whether they're financial, having to do with employment, the loss of loved ones. And so all of the trappings of Christmas really just put a thin veneer over the fact that we still experience this, the fact that the world lay in sin and in error pining. And yet, as the carol says, it's a holy night. And it's a holy night because it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. And I love the fact that we end every year and we begin every year celebrating Christmas. Christmas Day isn't just tomorrow. There's 12 days of Christmas. And every year ends celebrating the birth of our dear Savior. And every year begins still celebrating the birth of our dear Savior. And every Christmas we hear again this angelic announcement, the angelic announcement that we just heard, fear not. What wonderful words, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Every year concludes with this announcement to us. Every new year begins with this announcement still ringing in our ears. Fear not, behold, unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, what the angels are announcing is a birth. This is a birth announcement. And if you think about it, this is a very strange birth announcement. Megan and I have three children, and I remember sending out that quick email with our own announcement of a birth. And with all three kids, we usually just said, you know, it's a boy or a girl. And so, for example, when Leah was born, we said, Megan and I, welcome into our family Leah Gwendolyn Robinson, born at 4:45 this morning, weighing 9 pounds and 6 ounces. Usually that's the information that you give. That's what a birth announcement looks like. So the parents will say, in a sense, unto us is born a child. And then we give some information. And I'm not sure why we do this. I was thinking about this week, but why is that the most important thing to immediately let people know? The length of the baby and the weight of the baby, I'm not sure. But that's what we give. And Leah, 9 pounds, 6 ounces. That was quite a baby. But that's what birth announcements usually look like. But think about this birth announcement. First of all, it's not Mary and Joseph announcing this. It's announced by angels. And all birth announcements are good news. And for immediate family and close friends, they may be good news of great joy. But nobody ever sends out a birth announcement and says of the birth of their baby, this is good news of great joy for all the people. Nobody would ever make such a claim. And then no one would introduce the birth of their child as a Savior, Christ the Lord. Right away, this is an unusual birth announcement that's given. And the key to this announcement is not unto Mary and Joseph is born a child. That's not what it says. But the angel says to the shepherds, unto you this day is born a Savior. And it's easy to pass over those words, but that is the heart of the gospel message and the message of Christmas tonight. Not unto Mary and Joseph was born a baby, but unto you, for you, and for me, is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And instead of giving the length and the weight of the baby, they're given a sign. This will be a sign to you. This will be the proof for you that this baby born for you is your Savior, is Christ the Lord. You will find him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, this is a strange sign to give these shepherds. After that marvelous, glorious, angelic announcement, unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord, we receive this sign. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, the reason that babies in the first century were wrapped in swaddling cloths, this is different than what we do with our newborn babies, just swaddling them or wrapping them up. They were actually tightly bound with little strips of cloth, their limbs straight, their legs and their limbs. And the reason this was done was because in the ancient world, it was believed that the limbs would not form properly unless they were bound straight. Now, it wasn't until the 16th century that people wondered whether this was necessary and realized, no, it's not necessary to do this. The baby's limbs are going to develop just fine if you don't tightly swaddle them at birth. But this is what Mary and Joseph do to this newborn king. They bind his arms and they bind his legs. They do this because this is what everybody does. But they do it in ignorance. They don't know what they're doing. And what we sing at Christmas time is, long lay the world in sin and error pining. And Mary and Joseph were languishing in sin and error. They did what they thought was right, but they didn't know what they were doing. And from the moment of the birth of our dear Savior, he subjected himself to human sin and human error. From the moment of his birth, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths, a sign of the fact that he came to suffer and to be subject to human sin and human error. He was born bound and laid to rest in a wooden manger, and on his last day he was bound again and nailed to a wooden cross. And often the Christmas carols that we sing will make that connection between the manger and the cross. And we heard it again tonight. Why lies he in such mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear. The silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross he's borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. And the carol asks the question, why lies he in such mean estate, in a manger, in a stable? Well, this was the sign to the shepherds. This will be a sign for you. This is how you will know that this is a Savior born for you. For unto you a child is born. And the picture of Christ in the manger is a declaration to us that he came to suffer for us, to be bound for us, to bear our sin and the curse of our sin, death, for us. And as that carol says, yes, long lay the world in sin and error pining, but then that glorious next line, till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. And every year we hear that gospel announcement to us, for to you and to me is born a Savior. And I don't know what this last year looked like for you. Maybe it's been a year where you have known what it means to lay in sin and error pining. And maybe you've come here tonight, languishing in sin and error pining. But hear what the heavens declare tonight, for to you is born a Savior, for you, And you may look in the mirror and you may not think yourself worthy. You may come here tonight languishing in sin and error, pining, but he has appeared. And my prayer is that your soul would feel its worth. He came for you. He came for me. For unto us a child is born. Tonight we feel our worth. Tonight we know what we mean to God. He came to be bound and to suffer and to die for us. And yes, we may languish in sin and error, pining. But listen to this testimony from the Apostle Paul, one of the first Christians. He wrote this to a friend. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying to his friend, I was laying in sin and error, pining, but I was shown mercy, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. And tonight, again, the mercy of God and the grace of God overflow to us in the faith and in the love that come with the Lord Jesus. He is a Savior born for you and for me. And those early shepherds, those first shepherds, were given a sign. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And every week when we gather together for worship, and tonight as we've come here, there is a sign again for us. It's not a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger, but it's this meal. It's the Lord's Supper. The bread is a sign for us. Jesus said, "This is my body, given for you." And the cup, he says, "This is the cup of my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so just like those first shepherds, we hear the gospel announced to us, for you and for me a Savior is born. And again, there is a sign for us this morning. I'm used to preaching in the morning. This evening, this meal, his life given for us. And so let's come now knowing our worth, that the Lord Jesus tonight invites us to this table. And whatever the last year has looked like for you, yes, you may be languishing in sin and error, pining, but tonight feel your worth. Come to this table and receive life.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.